You know, harp music has a soothing quality about it. Ruth Friedman has played her harp for many on their deathbed. She spent a decade at Kalaupapa tending to Hansen's disease patients after being recruited from a world away. This nurse from Israel hadn't planned on making Hawaii her home. Friedman is now in her 80s. She also played harp with the Honolulu Symphony and discovered a way to spread the harp's healing properties during this pandemic. She's been separated from her harp during the shutdown this year. She still volunteers in the community, and so she turned instead to a collection of Negro spirituals compiled by African-American composer Harry Thacker Burley that she long ago discovered in a little music shop in Nevada. Some of the songs were more than 100 years old. She spent her time in isolation transcribing the hymns for harp. Some are well-known, some haven't been heard for decades. Thanks to Friedman, they've just been published by Lyon and Healy Harps out of Chicago, Illinois.
I was just passing a music store, and I can't resist, like a dress store. You want to see, is there something new that will fit? And I saw this box with sale items, and on the top it said 12 Negro spirituals. Well, I wasn't interested. I passed it by because I'm Jewish. But at the same time, I had just looked inside, and it looked rather harpistic. And that is something that was appealing to me, the sale also. So I bought it and took it home. It was so beautifully corded, such development. I was so entranced. I went back. This man had written about 100 art songs, as well as transcribing them and printing out the spirituals. He set it down after he was recruited from the New York Conservatory of Music by Booker T. Washington, who was looking for somebody to take him on summer trips so that he could give his speeches, yet the ex-slaves or sharecroppers go into his college. When he first got there on a work scholarship.
So he was a descendant of a slave?
Yes, his grandson. And the grandfather took him and his little brother around when they had to guide him through the streets. The mother was a widow. She was cleaning houses. And he would sing to the boys because he couldn't tell them stories and couldn't read a book. He had such a beautiful voice. The grandson happened to inherit that virtue, and he became a singer in their choirs and then launched out into being a wedding singer until he was discovered. Now, who was the director of New York Conservatory of Music at that time? He had just come in. His name was Anton Dvorak, and nobody knew that he was trying to find from little hurdy-gurdies or whatever street music he could hear the music of America. He was writing a symphony that he would call the New World Symphony, and this was his discovery. When he heard this black student, I believe he was 26, washing the floors at night and singing with his beautiful baritone voice, he said, this is Anton Dvorak, he said, change this man's work program so that he sings for me each evening for my supper, the plantation songs. And this was a story, but he could not put it into his New World Symphony because his colleagues were so adverse to it. And Anton Dvorak said, what do you mean? This is the freshest music I've found on this side of the water. But he didn't. He left all the spirituals out, and the closest thing is maybe in the second movement of his New World Symphony, which had its opening premiere at Carnegie, almost one of the first Carnegie performances given shortly before Anton Dvorak returned to Bohemia.
Well, so basically, though, he recognized the passion in these Negro spirituals.
Exactly right. And so then he told Harry, before he went back to Bohemia, he says, give these melodies to the world. But where I found it, it was solos for a singer with the background music, you know, some chords here and there. And also, they had choir arrangements, but nothing was ever written for a solo instrument or piano.
Tell us about how you turned to the harp for healing.
I have to say one thing, it is the most healing of any instruments, And this is from Arthur Harvey, a professor in music therapy at UH. He says, why is it so therapeutic? Because of its resonance, the resonance from its deep sound body.
Now, you were a nurse at Kalaupapa, and you brought your harp with you.
Yes. It's my furniture. It follows me everywhere. It really is. It's my treasure, and it's my distraction, and I only picked it up in college.
So you were able to play this harp for the residents there at Kalaupapa?
Correct. But the one thing is that it was the sister who played the organ, and I think it helped me get that job. So they put it into the church, and the sister there would have me accompany whatever they were doing for the choir, a beautiful choir of the patients. In Latin, they couldn't change because so many patients had become blind. So it was sort of known as the last Latin mass in Hawaii. And this is where I played. But once I heard a black man singing. He wasn't black, but the medicine turned his skin dark. And he was just singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. So I took him, walked him over to the church. The harp had just come in. And I sat him down, and I asked him to sing it, and I played with the harp. Thank goodness I had that in my little notebook. And his voice was so deep, so resonant, so heartfelt. And the height of the little church there, St. Francis Church, was so much that it carried everything. And he just sang with all his heart. And then we made a little program that I recorded the next day. And also, so that he could sort of recover in between songs, I would play a solo. So it's every other one, but I think we have five of his songs. And he is, even to this day, not quite able to converse too well, but he certainly sings.
That was Ruth Friedman talking about harp therapy. The patient she talked about was Makia Malo, a Kalaupapa storyteller. And Ruth Friedman shared a recording of that song with us.